The title of my lesson this evening is very simple. The title is Answers. And we find the word answers or answered or answereth in various forms, many hundreds of times throughout the Bible. It's a common word even in our everyday lives, and I expect that everyone knows what it means, or at least think they do. So I want to explore some different ways the word answer is used in the New Testament and get a little background first from modern-day dictionary. The word answer can either be a verb, which implies action, or a noun indicating that it's a thing, and the Merriam-Webster dictionary gives us some modern definitions, such as the noun where it's something spoken or written in reply to a question, or as a verb, kind of along those same lines, it's a reply to a question. For example, Stephen writes in the local newspaper, replying to Bible questions with Bible answers. And I think we're all probably too familiar with the fact that test questions require answers, preferably the correct ones. The answer can also be used as a verb, as something done in as a response or as a reaction. For example, if you're sitting at home and the doorbell rings, you answer it, right? The doorbell didn't ask a question, but you still answer it. A third definition is, as a verb also, to solve a problem, to solve a problem. Such as, used in a sentence such as, their answer to the cold weather was to stay inside. Cold weather, stay inside, problem solved. The dictionary goes on to give some more examples, but I want to look at the Bible. Now let's look at our first definition, an example of a reply to a question. When Jesus' disciples came to him on the Mount of Olives in Matthew 24, they asked in Matthew 24:3, "What will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?" In verse 4, Jesus answered and said to them, "Take heed that no one deceives you." His answer continues through the next several paragraphs. But here the Greek word for answered means to respond. The disciple asked a question. Disciples asked a question. And Jesus responded or answered them based upon their question. A second definition of answer is something done as a response or a reaction. If you think about John 6, how Jesus was scoffed at by the Jews in Capernaum at the synagogue, beginning in John 6, verse 41, we read, "The Jews then complained about him because he said, 'I am the bread which came down from heaven.' And they said, 'Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he says, 'I have come down from heaven?'" And verse 43, "Jesus therefore answered and said to them, 'Do not murmur among yourselves.'" They weren't asking him a question, they were murmuring. And in this instance, it seems that the writer would have us understand that Jesus could not hear specifically what they were saying, just that they were murmuring. But it's evident by his answer that he knew exactly what they were murmuring about. Now, how could it be? Did Jesus need to be directly asked a question in order for him to know the questions in the mind of his audience? We find our answer to that question in Matthew 12, which tells us of the time Jesus healed the demon-possessed blind mute man. Can you imagine? Demon-possessed blind and mute. The Jews watched him perform the miracle of healing this man, but they were driven by jealousy in their thoughts, saying in Matthew 12:24, "This fellow does not cast out demons except by Beelzebub, the ruler of the demons." But Jesus knew their thoughts. He knew their thoughts and said to them, "Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself will not stand." Did Jesus' disciple even ask a question about the withered fig tree in Mark 11:21? Again, answer can be something that's done as a response or a reaction, not just to a question. We read Mark 11:21. It says, Peter said to him, Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered away. In verse 22, so Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. No question was posed, but Jesus answered in response to a statement, which is one of the definitions of the original Greek word used in each of the examples that I've read. But tonight we've come up with three answers in response to a statement. Three answers, each one capable of teaching us something from God's word. Take heed that no one deceives you, he says. Take heed that no one deceives you. Every house divided against itself will not stand. And have faith in God. Jesus gives us all the answers that we need. He gives us all the answers. We have not spoken yet about the third definition given by Merriam-Webster of the word answer, meaning to solve a problem. So let's take a look at that. Let's see if we can have a problem that we can solve. Is sin a problem? Is sin a problem? Can we find an answer? Can we solve the problem that separates man from God? Isaiah 59:2 tells us, your iniquities have separated you from God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear. Romans 3:23 reminds us all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And Romans 6:23 warns us and encourages us, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. The problem is sin. The answer to the problem is the gift of God in Christ. As Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 9:15, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Indescribable gift. How can we describe his indescribable gift? Well, let's read John 1:14. It says, and the world became flesh, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten Son of the Father, full of grace and truth. Is it possible for us to learn to live a life full of grace and truth? The author of Hebrews writes about this challenge in Hebrews 4:15. He says, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses. That's a double negative, right? We do have a high priest who can sympathize with our weaknesses. He was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Tempted, yet without sin. And in verse 16, we're invited to, therefore, come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. How do we come boldly to that throne of grace? Well, let's read Hebrews 4, verse 2, which describes the difference between those who persevere as Christians and those who do not. We read, indeed, the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, but the word by which they heard did not profit them. Why? The word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith to those who heard it. It requires action on our part and thought and study. We must hear the word and mix it with faith in order to believe. And our belief must be so strong so as to move us to godly sorrow for the sins of our past. And that godly sorrow must drive us to change from our old sinful ways and to work to lead a life pleasing to God and obedient to his word. If you love me, keep my commandments. Jesus tells his disciples in John 14:15. And he adds in verse 19, the world will see me no more, but you will see me. Because I live, you will live also. That's his promise. That's eternal life. Keeping his commandments means we must confess Jesus as the Son of God and obey his command to be baptized. We arise from the waters of baptism, a new person. We're reminded in Galatians 3, verse 27, "For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ." We've been reborn to study, to learn, and we must practice constantly to walk with him according to his word and to contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints, according to Jude 3. We not only find the word answered or answereth hundreds of times throughout the Bible, but we find answers to our questions. Answers to how we should respond, how we should react. Answers to solve the greatest problem of mankind, sin. The answer is a common word in our everyday life, and I hope that everyone has a better understanding of what it means and how to find answers in Christ. If you need any help along the way, we all want to walk beside you. We want to encourage you, correct you if necessary, but out of love and our desire that we all will someday be together in heaven thanks to that indescribable gift of God in Christ our Savior. If you need prayers of the congregation, come forward now while we stand and sing together a song of invitation.